Have you ever done something for another person, an act of kindness or compassion from your heart? And after you had done this particular deed for this individual, they said, thank you. And that's very nice. We should say thank you, right? Me and Jonah were walking through Walmart yesterday, and there were several people that I stopped and let pass. I think I had the right of way. I was in the main aisle. The whole Walmart traffic rules, if there is such a thing. But, you know, they just didn't even say a word, just went on. And we got to talking, because then we did have a couple of people that said, thank you. And Joan and I got talking about how that, you know, people have kind of lost that ability to be just say thank you for somebody being nice. And that's a little thing. It's nothing. But still, you know, what we do in the little things often reflects in what we do with the big things as well. But how often have we done those kind things and someone said, thank you? And we try to believe the things that people say. We believe that they're really thankful for what we have done for them, that they're really appreciative. Then let's say a short time goes by and you need something. And you're in need in some way and you reach out to this person that you had helped and they don't even seem to care. And we probably all had something similar happen in our lives where we've done something for somebody and then the person we've done something for, even though they said thank you, didn't really seem to care when we had a need. And what do we say? Well, they sure aren't very thankful for what I did for them. They're not very appreciative. I mean, look at what we did for them. And they don't even seem to care about what we need or what we need to do. You know, and we do these things not as a reciprocal. The good deeds that we do are not done for reciprocation, but we certainly understand that people's thankfulness, we instantly equate that to how they treat us, right? That thankfulness is more than just thank you. That if they don't treat us in a way that is appreciative, we do not see them as appreciative or thankful. Have you ever felt that way? Have you had that happen to you? Have you ever said that? I bet several have said that in here. You know, the point is, thankfulness is more than just words. While the words are nice, the words are hollow if there are no actions behind the words. You know, there are many characteristics of our Christian life that require simply more than just lip service, right? Repentance is one of those things. You know, I can say, I'm going to change. But just saying those words doesn't mean anything unless we follow through on what those words are saying. That is why John the Baptist would tell the people that came to him and repented, he said, therefore now go and show fruits in keeping or worthy of your repentance. In other words, go live what you say. Because words are cheap and they are easy. But real change is hard. Certainly we see this aspect in love. It's so easy to say, I love you. But sometimes it is hard to love people, right? To truly show them the attributes of love, the actions of love in our lives. And so sometimes we say, I love you, but we really don't live it. And sometimes we have people tell us they love us, but they really don't show it. And if they didn't say it, we would never assume it because of the way they treat us. So love has to be more than just, I love you. We also see this with faith. Faith or the trust in God is more than just saying, I trust you, God, or it's more than just saying, I believe in you, God. It has to have obedient works, according to James chapter 2, or it is dead. It is worthless. There has to be action behind the words. Yes, we have to confess, openly confess at the time of our baptism, right? That I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to do that with the mouth, according to Romans chapter 10. We have to confess with the mouth. Well, then we have to live that confession, don't we? Just a mouth confession by itself just will not do. What about our worship? Worship is not just about being at the right place at the right time. You know, showing up at the Cary Church of Christ on Tryon Road at 9:30 and doing the right things in the right ways. There's more to to worship than just that. It involves not only what we do, but it also involves what is going on in our hearts, who we are, what we're thinking about, what we're focused upon. You know, the Pharisees said and did all the right things at the right time, at the right place, and yet Jesus still said that they were hypocrites, right? Matthew chapter 15 and verses 7 through 9, Jesus quotes Isaiah in reference to condemning the Pharisees. He said, "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." See, they were saying the right things. They were saying, "We love you, God." They were saying all these things. "We praise you, God." But in their lives and in their teaching, it really wasn't about God. And that made their worship vain. It made it false. What about thankfulness? Talk about love, faith, and worship, and these other attributes in our lives that we have. But what about thankfulness? As we're here in the week of Thanksgiving, and we're going to be, you know, everybody, it seems like we want to focus at this time on all that we have, and we certainly have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I think if a holiday was proportional to the level of thanks deserved, I think we need more than a day. Honestly, I think we need to give every day of the year as a day of thanksgiving to God. Because even if you did it every day of the year and you thanked Him every day of the year, you still wouldn't quite cover it, would you? What about Thanksgiving? Should our thankfulness be more than just words? Is it enough just to say, "God, thank you"? You know, we pray and we say, "Thank you." Is that enough? Is it enough for you? When you do things for people, is just thank you? I mean, we just talked about a while ago. What if they don't show you any appreciative action? Is that enough for you? You go, "Oh, well, that's okay." No, I doubt we do. First, I want us to think about, I guess to begin with, we have to think about what we have to be thankful for. And that would be a long list, and I don't plan on preaching long this morning. I think I've preached long enough the last few weeks. I know, everybody, come on. Right there. I saw a few. You know, the life that God has given us to serve Him is a great blessing. I love my life. I love my Christian life. I love the opportunity to serve God. I love preaching His gospel. I consider that a great blessing. The opportunity to stand here before you this morning and proclaim God's word, I consider a great blessing that I'm thankful for, that I'm given the abilities and the opportunity and the health to do that. And I pray that He gives me that blessing for many years to come. But you know, our lives every day, we have this opportunity to do for Him, and that is a great blessing. We also have the vast material blessings that we have been given, that have been showered literally down upon us to be thankful for. And if we obeyed the song, "Count Your Many Blessings," we would have to spend a lot of time, wouldn't we, counting the many blessings that God has given to us. But the greatest of all, and the most of all, and certainly this is not a comprehensive list, but most of all, we are to be thankful for the blessing that God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, we just sang the song, "How Great Thou Art." In that second verse, it says, "And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sins." When you think about that, it is hard. If you really give your heart and your mind to thinking about what God did in Jesus Christ, it is hard to comprehend. It is hard to fully take in and to understand. And therefore, the thankfulness for it should be great because of all that He has done. God sent His Son to a people that He knew would kill Him, to a people that He knew would reject Him. But He sent Him anyway. I don't want to send my son into any situation where I think he might be mistreated. I want to protect him. I want to keep him protected and safe because I love him. But let me tell you, my love for Jonah is nothing compared to God's love for Jesus Christ. When we have the word that they are one in John chapter 1, it is a word that indicates this incredible intimacy and closeness that they have. And it far exceeds all human relationships. So when we talk about God's love for Jesus Christ, it makes all of our love combined pale to insignificance. And yet He was still willing to send Him. Because His love for you and His love for me is that great. Folks, if that don't touch your heart, then you're like Pharaoh. And your heart is hard. It should touch us to a great degree. But not only did God love us so much that He sent His Son, but Jesus loved us enough to come. And to live on this earth, to leave the glories and the wonders and the beauty of heaven, to come and live on this dirty old earth and to suffer and to walk the dirty roads of Nazareth and Galilee and Judah. And to leave an example for us that we might follow. Not only do we have the life that He lived, but we have that death that He died that enables us to be here this morning as the children of God. The great love that was bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. It comes only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Jeff said a moment ago that His blood far better than bulls and goats, as Hebrews tells us. And He shed it there on that cross. Do we thank God every day? Folks, let me tell you what. If you don't pray every day and you're a child of God, you need to reassess this morning. Because if you only prayed for one thing every day, that would be the one thing you need to pray about. Thanks to God for His Son that died for you. But I guarantee you have a lot more than just that one thing that you should be praying and thanks for. Every single day. God sent Him to us. He gave us the church. He gave us this spiritual family that we have here at Cary. And if that was all that there was, then God has given us more than we deserve. But He gives us so much more. How can mere words show our thanks for that? Is a thank you enough? Thanks, God. Thank you, God. Is that enough? Does that really get it? Does that really cover it? I don't think so. I think they are feeble, and I think they are insufficient. You know, think about those who were thankful to Jesus for what He did for them. First, think about Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was not a harlot. I know people have come to believe that. She was not a harlot. She was not the woman that washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried it with her hair. Mary Magdalene, according to Luke chapter 8, verses 2 through 3, tells us that she followed Jesus because He cast 7 demons out of her. He had cast those demons out of her, and she followed Him in thanks for that. But how did she show her thanks? Well, she followed Him in His ministry, and the Bible tells us there in Luke chapter 8 as well that she supported His ministry from her own means. Mary was a financial supporter of Jesus' ministry, along with other women that are listed in that same text. She was at the cross of our Lord when He died. When all but John, all of the apostles but John, were gone, Mary and other ladies were there. She followed Joseph and Nicodemus as they carried the lifeless body of our Lord from the cross to the tomb. She followed them and watched to see where they would lay her Lord. She was out at the same tomb on Sunday morning, wasn't she? Before the sun rose, to come and to honor her Lord, who she believed was still dead in the grave. But she saw the power of God. Her thankfulness was not just, "Thank you, Jesus, for casting out 7 demons." Her thankfulness was more than that. It was more than words. Her thankfulness was a giving thankfulness. And she gave to the Lord who had done so much for her. What about Mary and Martha and Lazarus? I mean, John 11, we know Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but that relationship was already in place even before that event took place, right? Jesus already knew Mary and Martha very well, and they already had a very clear understanding of Jesus' power and Jesus' ability and what Jesus was doing there. Yes, Lord, we know He'll rise again in the resurrection, right? Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. They knew who Jesus was. They knew what He could do, and they believed it with all their hearts. We see that already in John 11. But we may have to back up and look at a couple of scriptures to maybe begin to understand where this relationship began, possibly. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6, and this is the time in which Mary, Martha's sister, got to designate all these Marys. Mary anoints Jesus, or she anoints His head with that perfume for His death. And uses her hair as well. That great symbol of love that Jesus said would be spoken of for all time. But they're at the house there. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6 says that they were in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. Now that's what Matthew tells us. They were at the home of Simon the leper. But we go to John chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 of the same, giving an account of the same event. And it tells us that they were at the home where Lazarus was. And that Martha was serving in that home. The fact that this was a home of a man named Simon the leper indicates that while he was a leper at some point, he wasn't a leper anymore. Because he wouldn't be in the house with everybody. They wouldn't be in his house if he was still a leper. So there is an indication, implication that he may have been healed. And Martha is serving. That's something you do in your own home. So Jesus' relationship with Mary and Martha may very well have began with Martha's husband being healed of leprosy. And this great relationship that we have between these two sisters and this brother that we see so vividly in the gospel text is a relationship that began in great thankfulness to the one who healed them. You know, we see the thankfulness of Mary and Martha and their devotion to Jesus, and they're feeding Him, housing Him in Bethany. It appears that Jesus stayed with them when He came to Jerusalem because often He was going back and forth between Bethany and Jerusalem on a daily basis. And in between, almost directly in between Bethany and Jerusalem, is the Mount of Olives, in the Garden of Gethsemane, a place where they would stop on their way to and from and would have time. Judas knew that this was Jesus' habit. That's why he knew where to find Him on that terrible Thursday night. Now we can also think about people outside of the lifetime of Jesus Christ upon this earth. We can look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's life was a life lived in incredible thankfulness for God saving him. For God giving him the opportunity. And Paul understood his unworthiness to a great degree. He felt it in his heart. He constantly and over repeats in his letters, I was a persecutor of Christianity. I forced Christians to blaspheme. I did terrible things. I threw them in prison. I don't deserve this. And yet the motivation for those missionary journeys, the motivation for that great service that Paul, possibly the greatest preacher the church has ever known, came out of a thankful heart. Oh, if you just do a search on thanks, or thanksgiving, thankfulness on your PC Bible, look at how many land in the letters Paul wrote. I'm thankful daily. I'm thankful always. I'm thankful for this. Pray, you know, he's always thankful. He's thankful for Christians. He's thankful for God. He's thankful for Jesus Christ. Paul was a man of great thanks, but it was more than words. It was thanks that was giving. It was giving something more than just words. It was giving eternal life and the preaching of the gospel. When he wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, the Apostle Paul said this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into service. See, he's thankful to serve. He's thankful to be doing something for Christ. Because He considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. Paul says, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving of full acceptance, right? In other words, everybody should believe this. This is just the truth. Jesus saved me, and that shows that He can save anybody. He has set an example that if He will save those that persecuted Him, if He will save those that put His children in prison, persecuted and was a violent aggressor to those that were His followers, He will save anyone. Paul was thankful. And his service was the giving that was connected to his thanks to Jesus Christ for the Lord's great grace and great love that brought salvation to his life. What about you? What about me? How good are we at even just saying thank you to God? How often do we fail in that? Remember, words are easy. How often do we fail in just that? How many days do we forget to pray? How many days do we forget God? Because if we forget to pray, we forget God. How many days are we too busy when God desires for us to come to Him? And you know, we'll do something good for somebody, not even in comparison to what God has done for us. We'll do good for somebody, and somebody won't call us or check on us when we're sick. Well, they're not very appreciative. Look what I did for them. And that's all, you know, it was nothing. We're so indignant and self-righteous in those situations. And yet, maybe in that same day, we didn't even pray to God. You know what our Lord called that? You hypocrites. You bind on others what you're unwilling to carry yourself. We need to be careful. How often do we pray? I guarantee you that if we do not pray very much, we're not very thankful to God. We don't sometimes have enough thankfulness in our hearts to even remember to speak to Him. We can say that we are thankful, but if we do not pray, friends, I can tell you, you are not, and I am not. Our thanks must be a giving thanks. Let's consider a few areas where our thanks promotes giving. You know, we partook of the Lord's Supper just a few minutes ago, and thankfulness for, we have a great thankfulness for Jesus' sacrifice. And we need to allow that thankfulness that we have, and there should be words there. There should be a thankfulness to God. But we need to allow that thankfulness that we have in our hearts to drive us to greater service to God. I believe with all my heart that that memorial is every week so that we are constantly reminded of what we're thankful for. Because we are such forgetful people. And God never wants us to forget the greatest thing ever done on this earth. He never wants us to forget the greatest gift ever given. He never wants us to forget the greatest thing that anyone ever did for us. You know, there are people that we are so thankful for what they've done for us, but God far exceeds all of them and all of them combined. His sacrifice was total, and our sacrifice should be total as well. In giving all from our thankfulness, we should seek every opportunity to worship the God of heaven to whom we have such a great debt of gratitude. I don't understand. I don't understand how somebody can be thankful to God and have no desire or care to be here to worship Him. I don't get it. I know people have a lot of reasons. Well, I don't have to come. It doesn't say I have to be here. You know, I don't understand it. The last time I checked, I'm a Christian because I chose to be, not because I have to be. I serve God not because I have to, but because I want to. Because I'm so thankful for what He has done. You're no one's made to be a Christian. Everyone chooses it. And that choice will be, what that choice is will come a lot from how thankful you are for what He has done. We should seek every opportunity. Nothing should cause us to not want to be with God's family, worshiping and praising the one who has given every good thing in your life. If there is something good in your life, it comes from God. For He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. There is nothing in your life good that you made for yourself. God gave it. And we need to be thankful for it. Show God how much you reverence Him as well through His knowing His Word. You know, God went to great efforts, didn't He, to provide this book? You know, we read entire novels that are bigger than this. Smaller print. We read entire novels that men took about a year to write. God took 1,600 years and 40 men to write this book for you. Have you read it? Do you care about it? Or would God look at your study and how you feel about God's Word? It's not that important. We shouldn't focus on it that much. Whatever it might be going through people's heads. Does He look at you and go, are they even thankful at all that I did that for them? I put all that effort into giving them my words. And they don't even seem to be appreciative. They don't even care. Remember the things that we've said that in regards to. Now we're talking about God's Word. Our study of God's Word will come out of our thankfulness. We want to know everything that God wants us to know. We want to know everything that pertains to life and godliness, and He has given it to us in this book. It is Him. He is every page. He is every word. If we're thankful to Him, we want to know everything we can about Him. You know, by ignoring Bible study, we disrespect what God has done. And we demonstrate an attitude of ingratitude for God's efforts in giving it to us. Our thanks for God should drive us to study. Also, this thanksgiving that we have within our hearts should cause us to honor God by living in a way that pleases Him, by living a moral life, by living a godly life, an honest life, a life dedicated to Him and to His truth. We should be thankful as well for our salvation. I hope and pray that if you're a child of God this morning, that you're thankful for that. That you're thankful that you're a child of God. But it's got to be more than thank you. And that while we are thankful that we are a child, that we have salvation, that thankfulness should be acting in such a way that we give that salvation, that opportunity for salvation to someone else. It's very selfish and ungrateful to hoard stuff and say, I'm not going to give it to anybody else. I've got Christ's salvation, but I ain't going to give it. I'm just going to take care of me. Friends, I tell you, that attitude does not exist in Christianity. We give because we've been given to. We love because God loved us first. It is a reciprocal thing when it comes to giving for God. How selfish it is just to keep salvation to ourselves. How ungrateful to not make the most of our Lord's sacrifice for mankind. Jesus Christ says, I died for everybody. Why won't you tell everybody? Why won't you tell people what I did? I did it for them. And I've tasked you, I've given you the blessing of telling people the good news. Why won't you tell them? Are you not thankful for what I did? Are you ashamed of my actions? Our thanks for God's Word should want us to give that to everybody. Our salvation should make us want to see everybody saved. Our thankfulness should drive us to that same goal to give the salvation of Jesus Christ to the lost. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost, and that should be our goal. As we emulate the one we love. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Oftentimes we're real focused on verse 16. Is that talking about singing? As we deal with instrumental music and things of that nature. But 17 fits with what we're talking about this morning. Along with, of course, the verses before as well. But I want us to focus on 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Whatever you do in word or deed. Well, let's just break that down into to common non-Bible English. Right? Everything you do, everything you say. That doesn't leave much, does it? Everything you do and everything you say should be done for Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're thankful. Because you're thankful to Him for giving you what you don't deserve. For giving me what I don't deserve. Because while Paul may have called himself foremost sinner, he was no worse off than you and me when he had his sins washed away in baptism. You know, as we consider what God has done for us, how grateful are we? Are you that person who had something done for you and you may have said thank you, but when that person who helped you asked something from you, you were too busy or too preoccupied or just too uncaring, maybe too ungrateful to give thanks to the one who earned that thanks by their giving? God has given much to me. He has given much to you. Far more than any other source of giving in your life. What do you give to Him? And what does it say about your thankfulness? Does it show your giving, or does your giving show your thankfulness to Him? May our lives truly be lives of thanksgiving. Two words, not one. Every day, giving back to the God who gave so much. This morning, if you're not a child of God, God sent His only begotten Son to die for you. That's the good news the world needs to hear, that while you may be lost, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you are lost in your sins. And if that continues on that way, you will be lost for eternity. But there is that, and if that was it, if that was my only message this morning, then you have no hope. But there is good news. And that is, you do not have to continue on that path. Jesus Christ died so that you could change paths. A path that is narrow, but one that leads to eternal life. And Jesus said, "Few there will be there to find it. But those that find it will find eternal life." May you be that person this morning. May you obey His gospel this morning. Come believing in Him, repenting of your sins, choosing to live life as He would have you to live it in thanks to Him. Confessing Him as the Son of God, but not only just saying that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but living every day, living up to those words. Be buried in baptism. Having your sins washed away by the blood that He shed upon that cross, to rise to walk a new life of thanksgiving to Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, maybe you forgot how thankful you should be. Then return your thanks to God where it should be. And may it be a reflection of everything in your life. May it affect everything about you. But remember who gave it all to you and live appropriately. We can assist you in any way this morning spiritually. We hope and pray that you will let us. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?